Welcome to another PA House podcast, a series of conversations with lawmakers and stakeholders about legislation and issues currently under discussion in Harrisburg. I'm your host, Mike Davies. We're now in the thick of the budget season here in Harrisburg, and what makes this year different from others is that this year the state's actually running a surplus in terms of revenue, thanks to a strong national economy that in many ways can be tied to the business-friendly policies of the Trump administration. These policies have fostered a positive and encouraging climate for both employers and workers in the United States. And that means that we're seeing better revenue in government coffers, particularly at the state level. And that's created a more than $800 million revenue surplus that we're seeing this year in Harrisburg. But that doesn't mean that everything is just fine with the way Pennsylvania government has handled state budgets. And we've not always seen the smooth sailing that we're experiencing this year. Today, we're having a roundtable discussion with House lawmakers who are sponsors of legislation designed to reform and improve the budget process in Pennsylvania to avoid many of the problems and pitfalls we've seen in past state budgets. With us today is Representative Rosemary Brown of Monroe and Pike County, a member of the House Appropriations Committee, and two of our guests today are relatively new to the House of Representatives, and that brings a fresh perspective to the budget process. We have Representative Eric Nelson of Westmoreland County, who's a businessman and member of the Government Oversight Committee, and Jim Ceruzzi of Indiana County, a member of the House Appropriations Committee. I'd like to welcome all of you to the podcast today. First off, I'd like to ask each of you some of your thoughts on the current budget processes, especially with the results we've seen from the Wolf administration in their first term. What do you see as problematic with how Pennsylvania crafts budgets and how the administration implements the legislature's plan? Representative Brown.
So thank you for having us, Mike. I think this is an important topic and one that is very difficult, I think, for constituents to really understand because it is so involved and it's big. You know, government is very big and there's a lot of different agencies. There's a lot of different support services and different things that we have an obligation to provide. But I feel in my years in the House and also now on the Appropriations Committee that what I believe sometimes we don't do a good enough job is looking within each agency and within each line item exactly what is provided, why it's provided, and what those dollars really do and what the return on investment is to the taxpayers. And so you might have a general line item. You might say, okay, we have to provide a service, but are we doing that to the best of our ability? Are we doing that the most efficiently? Are we doing that the most cost effective with our dollars? And so to me, that has always been an issue. And I think regardless of party, Republican or Democrat, that really should be everybody's focus. And that's where I feel there's still issues with our budget process. But again, that comes from the fact that the state budget is very, very big and the services and the functions that we do in state government are very large. So it sounds easy, but not necessarily always the case. But as members of the Appropriations Committee, as you'll talk to the other members here, we are trying to do specific efforts to really hammer down a little bit on the needs and how and why and what we could do better. And I think that that's a very, very good initiative. We have done some really great things to improve the process, but we still have a lot more to do.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing us an opportunity to share some of the thoughts. As a newer legislature, I share in both the frustration and what is a bit of an enigma for Pennsylvania's budget process. Even how, you know, as legislators in the paradigm here in Harrisburg, we kind of hold both the business world and the state hostage over these next couple of months. Many states have a two-year budget process that enables a little bit of a longer lead because part of what really creates struggle and strife for business and in trying to attract new investment in Pennsylvania is that the field is wild with ideas and concepts, whether it's a taxation or an incentive plan, and it creates an enormous amount of flux. And part of, I think, an initial step of what we're trying to do as Republicans with the budget is to be as transparent as possible, but also to create a climate of reliable atmosphere. So both Pennsylvanians, the individuals who are relying on the social services and outside entities can feel comfortable with where their investment dollars or the direction that their family is going to go in the next couple of years. And to me, the element of transparency is the foundation for making sure the dollars are getting to the district. One of my biggest disappointments is learning how oftentimes a well-intended and well-funded program just is not resulting in direct benefits to the Pennsylvanians that both sides of the aisle are trying to go. So I think it's an acknowledgement that you know, there's the political aspect, there's the citizens in the state, and then there's the bureaucrats that are running the system itself. And those bureaucrats are here far longer than we are. If we look at the House just in recent years, we've had just about a 20% turnover in new personnel. People still trying to find where even all the bathrooms are. And there are elements and sub-elements of funds and dollars that we have a very difficult time even identifying. So I think the budget process is improving, but I think clarifying those short and long-term goals of improved transparency and then accountability that the dollars are reaching the district are key things from my perspective.
And Representative Struzzi, you're, of course, one of the newest members here in our discussion today. What are some of your views?
Well, that's right. I'm one of those representatives still trying to find the bathrooms, as Representative Nelson pointed out. I would have to say, you know, as a freshman and being appointed to the Appropriations Committee along with Representative Brown, it truly has been an eye-opening experience. The opportunity to take part in the budget hearings was truly something that I think made me realize just the complexity of the budget process, the size of some of the organizations that are spending taxpayer dollars. And then through that process, I also found it quite alarming how many of those agencies really didn't know how they were spending a lot of the money. And that, to me, is why we are here. You know, the public, the people who elected us and trust us to do wise things with taxpayer dollars. And that's why we're here. And so I think from a Republican standpoint, we are trying to be as transparent as possible, as responsible as possible with the taxpayer dollars to make sure that these agencies who essentially report to the taxpayers and to us in the legislature are using those monies to the best way that they can to be as efficient as possible, to deliver the services that are vital to our Commonwealth, and to make sure that, you know, we're not spending frivolously, that every dollar is accounted for, as Representative Brown said, to understand, you know, what are these monies being used for? What results are we getting from them? And the number of bills that we put forth here, the budget reform packages that we're going to talk about as part of this podcast, really get to the heart of that. We need to understand and make sure that the public understands how their money is being used. And the best way we can do that is to hold people accountable. That's why we are elected, and that's why we're here today to talk about accountability.
And, of course, the House has already taken some steps in the previous session to deal with some of the budget problems we have in Pennsylvania. What are some of your views on how these steps have worked out?
I guess I'll start in. Enormous accomplishment by the state enacting and the Republican leadership being able to support and implement performance-based budgeting. It really is a chance for a paradigm shift in how dollars are invested, and then those dollars are given an opportunity to say, hey, this is what we accomplished with them. I mean, it really can be a sea change. I mean, I was stunned to learn that currently we use four simultaneous accounting methods here in Harrisburg. So as a business owner, I knew there are four methods exist, but basically you have to adopt one so that everything balances out. Here in our budget process and individual departments, we are simultaneously using four different methods. So the ebb and flow of what you think might be happening, dollars aside and tracking aside, performance-based budgeting creates an opportunity to say, how many people did you help with this? And I think even last year, Representative Saylor, our appropriations chair, we increased funding in a line item where that department showed that they exceeded the goals that were set, and we were able to do more in that area. Because regardless of the fights you see on the floor, R's and D's have the same goal of trying to create the best Pennsylvania possible. We may disagree on the path, but performance-based budgeting is a way that legislators on both sides of the aisle can see that final 360.
I think it's a fairly new change that's happened, but it's exactly going on what we all spoke about as far as one of the most important pieces of doing a state budget. But you just can't assume that you're going to get a certain dollar amount every year and think that that's right or that's okay. There has to be justification behind that dollar amount, and there has to be legitimate justification, not just wording or political speeches, whatever sounds good or whatever they think the public may like. There has to be true justification, and that's what we're really asking for, especially when you do performance-based budgeting. And that's something that has lacked, I think, for many, many years. And the stronger we can get with that, the better we feel about our jobs and the better we feel about what we're doing. And we can speak on that more clearly to the people who don't always have the time to really get as involved in this state budget, but at least to give them the tidbits that I think that they need to understand how their taxpayer dollars are being spent and why they're being spent that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Taxpayers want us to hold these agencies accountable. And we need to make sure that every dollar that's spent is being used to the best potential that it can be used. Performance-based budgeting gets us to that. You know, there's so many programs out there, the vast size of some of these agencies, a lot of things could slip through the cracks. And that's why we can't allow that to happen. Every dollar should be accounted for, and every dollar should result in something that benefits Pennsylvania. You know, when you're talking a $34 billion budget, that's enormous. And there's a lot of line items on there as we've been working through the appropriations process. And again, it's a unique opportunity to have that sort of insight into understanding as much as we can all those different line items. But you realize just how big the budget is, how big the state government is. And it really behooves us as elected officials to hold these agencies accountable and to make sure that when taxpayer dollars are being spent, they are resulting in the benefits that they're expected to create for Pennsylvania citizens. And I know, you know, just from being recently elected, that's what people want. They want transparency. They want government to perform for them, but not to perform in excess and not to underperform either, to make sure that the dollars are being spent wisely and they're getting the results that they're expected to achieve.
And of course, we have looked at some of the budget process failures that we've seen in the past, especially with the administration having five budgets in a row that he did not sign because he could not agree with the final legislative product. But we've looked at some of these process failures. What are House Republicans looking at in this current package of bills that addresses some of the budget problems that we're seeing?
One of the worst things that I feel that I can hear is, well, this is how it's always been done. And there's not always the why and, well, can't we think about changing that? Or why wouldn't we think about changing that? And, you know, we recently had these bills pass the House. The bill that I was proposing, House Bill 923, is continuing on that thought process of justifying the need for supplemental appropriations. And supplemental appropriations are above and beyond what's been appropriated by the budget, additional financial needs that have come in throughout the year. And this became a very party-driven issue, which I think is really embarrassing because any legislator needs the information to be able to say, why are we asking for more money? And it's okay if you ask for more money, but we need to know why. And we need to know maybe how we can do cost-cutting measures or avoid this in the future. Or maybe we need to appropriate more. As Representative Nelson said, sometimes that happens or we're not doing something correctly because we haven't looked at it appropriately or as much in detail. And that's pretty much what my bill does. It works to ask the administration and the governor for a justification of the need for supplementals and a report on cost-saving measures or recommendations. And again, disappointed to see that it became a very party-driven issue. Most Democrats voted no for the bill. I think I received two affirmative votes on the Democrat side and most were Republicans. And to me, this is not a party issue at all. This is a good government issue and an issue of why wouldn't you want as much information as you can to help you make the best decision this year on the supplementals, but also in the future when you're appropriating dollars. So that's my take on this bill. And I know there's several other really good bills in the package.
Yes, and it was surprising and a little bit disappointing to see the polarized resistance as we were touching on these bills. We were fortunate to get them passed and to advance them. House Bill 921, a bill that I had sponsored for the second session last year, we passed it out of the House. We weren't able to get it through the Senate. But 3 years ago, if we all remember the enormous dogfight that the budget had turned into, I began working with a number of colleagues as part of the Common Sense Caucus, and the special funds were stumbled across, and they were something that has been around through Republican and Democratic governors. They're not anything new, but they were not discussed. And hundreds of millions of dollars have been transferred from the general ledger that the public can see. If you go on the transparency portal, taxpayer can see each of the dollar amounts. And the special funds were transferred offline where individuals were not able to see the details and what those dollars were, hundreds of millions of dollars. And so when we processed through the Common Sense Caucus freedom of information requests to those departments, eventually information did come, but it was redacted. What was said by the administration first, that these dollars didn't exist, and then that they were all accounted for different projects. And to me, going back to, it's a nonpartisan issue. These are not bureaucrat dollars. These are Pennsylvania citizens' dollars that were intended through the appropriations to be spent on emergency services, farm conservation, environmental projects, and road projects. And so this bill doesn't prevent the special fund process, but it says if you transfer money into a separate account, it must be tagged or earmarked with what it's to be spent for, and that would need to be updated. So that if we're not going to do a project and things have changed, that's fantastic. Well, then those tax dollars could be reinvested in other projects under that skill set. Our big gain was that the special funds are now recognized to exist. And even our Democratic colleagues were calling on the use of these special funds to be able to invest in schools. You know, how we those dollars go could have enormous controversy, but step one is actually shining the light on what they are and where they are. And I think that's a key first step. I was very disappointed to see the resistance for just letting the taxpayers know where their money is.
And I think this gets to, again, the transparency that we're trying to convey to the taxpaying public. You mentioned earlier, Mike, the surplus that we had in revenues, 800 plus million, but a lot of that's going to be accounted for by funds that were not appropriated last year, if I'm correct, to the tune of $750 million. So we have to be cautious with that. And I think it's also worth mentioning that we do intend to put a nice amount into the rainy day fund from those additional revenues. The bill that I had passed earlier this week, House Bill 855, originally introduced by Representative Dunbar, I believe, last session, basically shows the public that, you know, we know how to balance our checkbook. In your home, if you don't have enough money coming in to pay the bills, you certainly don't go out to dinner. And that's basically what this bill says. You know, when we get to the mid-year point and we're looking at revenues, if expenditures and revenues don't mesh up, we're saying time out. Put a hold on spending, put some money into budgetary reserve, and make sure that we don't overspend and exceed revenues. So that's essentially what this bill does. I think, again, it demonstrates to the taxpayers that we're accountable for their money, that we're fiscally responsible, and we're not going to overspend when we don't have it. So that's essentially what this bill does. But all these packages, all these bills together in a package are designed to show the public and to hold our administration accountable for taxpayer dollars, but to show them that we're being responsible with their money and we take our positions very seriously as stewards of taxpayer dollars.
And just one last question, a little bit of crystal ball gazing. Of course, we really don't know where the budget is going to be at this time this year. But in terms of the budget reforms, what are your hopes for consideration of these bills and them getting actually onto the law books?
Well, if I was going to have a soothsayer moment, I would almost caution Pennsylvanians not so much to look at the money in the bills, but to look at the action in the codes. There is enormous action in the back door, back deals of the codes, the fiscal code, the admin code, and just a single line or paragraph could change the direction of the state. So, you know, I'm a no new taxes kind of a guy, and I believe we should stand behind Representative Warner's amendment to say we should not spend more than the growth of Pennsylvania citizens. That's not a popular subject here at times, but to me, we got to make sure we're not overspending. But more importantly, this practice of potentially influential language inserted into the code bill, it's a real concern for me.
And, you know, as far as the package of bills and the reform measures, based on some of the votes that we saw in the House, the crystal ball tells me it's going to be difficult for those bills in the Senate. I really think the administration needs pressure on them to have these recognized, as we spoke about today, as this is not a partisan issue. This is an issue of stating needs, understanding different processes, and really getting better, all of us, at doing what we do. And I would hope that maybe this podcast and some other communication efforts would help put some pressure and to say, let's work together, let's get better information, and let's not make this at all partisan, which it should never be. But I do believe the crystal ball will say that this will be difficult based on the votes that we saw in the House.
And for me, this being my first venture through the budget process, I'm not sure what to expect. I hope that people can be trusted to do what they say and that they can put Pennsylvania residents first, get the politics out of it, and actually do what's right for the Commonwealth and for the people we represent. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and pack a lot of clothes, and we'll see how it goes. But it's an exciting process. you know, when you see it from the outside, you scratch your head and you wonder, why can't they get these things right? Why does it take so long? Why is there all this back and forth? And on the inside, I'm asking the same question. So I trust my colleagues, I trust our leadership, and I think we're going to get this done, but I hope that we can do it the best interest of the people we represent first.
Well, I'd like to thank you all for taking the time to discuss these critical issues today and what steps our state government can take to improve the budget process and the outcomes for our taxpayers. Our guests today have been Representative Rosemary Brown of Monroe and Pike Counties, Representative Eric Nelson of Westmoreland County, and Representative Jim Struzzi of Indiana County. If you'd like to learn more about this issue or keep up to date with future legislative actions, you can visit the websites of these members of the Pennsylvania House at repbrown.com, repnelson.com, or repstruzzi.com. And please join us again for another PA House podcast.